Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We're on the Not a Thing podcast is recording. We're a day late and many dollars short, but we're recording nonetheless.
We are recording, right?
We are. We are. Okay, good. I see meters moving. Things are moving. It's episode 97.
I'm gun shy now about not recording.
Well, I don't know why you'd be worried. It was recording you. It wasn't recording me when it had a problem.
Well, yeah, but you're an important component of the podcast. Don't sell yourself short.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, we're still marching to 100. We're at episode 97, so we have two more in between, 98 and 99. And then we have 100.
The anti-penultimate, then the penultimate, then the ultimate podcast.
The penultimate to the penultimate to the penultimate episode, yeah, of the 100th episode.
We should have started with that at episode 1.
Well, we'll get there soon enough. If you would like to join us on the old program, please let us know via probably multiple means. You can tweet at us. You could find us on Facebook. The website kind of works. All that good stuff. You probably can't find us on Google Plus, but that's not really a big loss. But in any case, you could be a guest on the show, like the guest we have right now. Drumroll. I don't know why I tried to do a drumroll with my mouth, but...
you got a drum mouth, Alan.
Drum mouth. We're going to welcome our guest, Vikas.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going well.
Great, welcome to the show.
Yay.
All this excitement has just woken me up. I don't need any coffee.
Have I ever made you a coffee?
So I actually stopped drinking coffee about 2 years ago for my migraine.
So what you're trying to say is you just set us up for this story, which is cool.
Exactly.
Excellent. So you stopped drinking coffee 2 years ago? I need to hear this story before we actually start the normal part of the interview. This is important.
So which part of the story do you want to know? Do you want to know my migraine story, which is kind of sad, but my coffee story, which is...
Oh, not the migraine story. Is that why you don't drink coffee?
That's why I actually dropped drinking coffee. But also, coffee actually has some pretty cool effects on me. I start not thinking straight, so... I get into these idea bubbles and don't ever get out of them. So I just go into this idea mode and never execute on any of the ideas that I come up with. So that was one of the other reasons why I dropped coffee. So I've been 2 years clean.
Oh, wow. So I've been many years dirty. Let's just put it that way. I've mentioned it on the show before. I make coffee kind of regularly at the office. So, okay, good to know. I won't wonder why you've never had coffee from me before.
It's just because I hate you, Alan. Okay.
You're such a caffeine peddler, Alan.
Oh, well, wild.
But okay. Spread your sickness to the rest of us.
Well... Other than migraines and coffee, I'm hoping, Vikas, you have something else to talk about. What is your thing?
What is my thing? So my thing is definitely my thing for work is UX research. And my thing for a living is soccer.
Awesome.
So I breathe soccer, I eat my work, and I watch soccer.
Okay.
I don't know why I said that, but it just made sense in my head.
It sounds like a balanced diet to me.
So this World Cup stuff you're kind of into, I can guess.
Right. although the World Cup stuff, it's too mainstream. There's never and when I say mainstream, I mean fans, non-fans, everyone jumping on Twitter talking about the World Cup. It's actually good. It's good to watch World Cup with other fans, but not so much on social media where the jokes kind of take precedent over the actual game.
Oh, okay.
So So it's actually great. It's been this is probably the best World Cup I've ever seen. My first full World Cup that I've seen in the country of United States. So, and it's too bad about yesterday's loss, but hey, it's next year, next time in 2018, Russia.
Not next year. Not next year. We have a few years yet.
Yeah, we gotta get things sorted out with Russia first. Could be kind of an awkward game.
Exactly.
Everybody just chill out.
So I want to ask you this question, although I kind of already know the answer. So who are you pulling for now?
So,
Or who were you pulling for before yesterday?
before yesterday, so I was actually I'm a huge German fan. I like the team, love the way they're set up. Very good defensively, extremely well organized up ahead. Great tactical team, and also, well, the coach, the U.S. coach, Jürgen Klinsmann, used to coach Germany until the last World Cup. So, it's they use some of the same methodologies, same techniques to move the ball ahead. So, I'm a huge German fan. The fact that I know very little German might have contributed to that, but but I know I set myself up for that. So before you ask me, no, I cannot speak German on this
Oh, I wasn't gonna ask that.
podcast. But yeah, short answer to your question, Germany. Germany, they've been playing well, although I'm slightly worried that they're playing the French. In the next round, it's going to be a tough game. We have, I bet you it's going to go into extra time and very tough game to call.
Well, I mean, historically, the Germans have done very well against the French, but I don't know if that applies here.
Maybe not in a soccer context, but
And they probably get some sort of advantage in Brazil. I don't know.
Well, hope that carries forward,
Oh my God.
right?
So
So
no, go ahead.
are you in any sort of like pick'em pools or anything like that?
I am. So in fact, we just started a work pool, which is just like the brackets that we do for March Madness, and it's been very exciting. When I first sent out the email, there were a few select people that joined. Alan was one of those. Alan's always very enthusiastic about joining into all these pools and just in general doing fun things at work. Not many people are into it. So sometime last week, we literally went out, like printed these brackets, put them on everyone's desks, asked them, hey, fill them out and you get to win an exciting prize. So we had about 30 people sign up.
Initially, I think the electronic one that you did via, was it ESPN?
ESPN, a
I think.
website that was designed by maybe a 10-year-old.
Yes. Why is that, right? We constantly talk about this about the fantasy football, American football, that is, the fantasy football leagues that we do through Yahoo, and how every year it seems like they have to reinvent that interface.
And it's just about picking those 11 people, right? Out of a select pool. So it should be as simple as entering stuff into Excel. Well, actually, no. Entering stuff
Maybe
into Excel is not simple, but
even
yeah, I
easier than
was
that.
going to
I
say.
don't know, man. I can do some pretty crazy shit with pivot tables, but anyway, we're not talking
show
about that. But for the pools, I just want to check in because I remember we talked like before, while everything was going and like there was going to be the group doing the pools and there were maybe only 8 people doing that. And then when we passed out the paper ones, you were saying the paper ones override the electronic ones. Is that still happening?
I don't think that's going to happen. We need more entries, and two entries from Alan are always good. So,
So
Brendan, just to give you a backstory,
I'm just gonna
Alan.
point out in the in the electronic pool, I believe I'm not only winning, but the percentage to win, at least it was briefly yesterday at 100%. So
it was. So
wow.
I haven't taken a look at your team, but who do you have in it?
In the electronic pool, I think I have. I think I do have Brazil winning, although I changed it for the paper pool. Although I will never win the paper pool because I pick the U.S.
USA.
The pool I'm in is through Yahoo, and you can't pick ahead of time like who all the winners are. Like, it only will allow you to fill it in as the brackets like are set up.
Huh.
So, like, I can't pick who the overall winner is, but we just pick of the actual matchups.
Okay.
So come the final game, you're basically picking between two. It's basically like a coin toss at that point.
Yeah, which actually would be pretty good because I'm currently winning.
Nice.
And I had to ask, how long is a match? Like, I don't know anything. The fact that I picked 11 correct score, because it's actually a combination of picks of teams and picking the score.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, that's tough.
It uses the score as tiebreaker? Is that what's going on? Or
no, it just counts towards your overall points total.
Oh, okay.
And somehow I've picked 11 correct scores.
Interesting.
No knowledge.
Wow. Well done. Well done.
Sometimes it helps. Like, all this probability, all these factors that you put into this Excel sheet. I'm not saying I have an Excel sheet with all these factors in. All the factors that you enter in, sometimes they just make sense without anything in it. Sometimes just a plain instinct makes sense. Well, Brendan, I have to ask you this. So you said you literally had to ask someone about how long a football game is.
Uh-huh.
Do you now know how long a football game is?
Well, regulation is 90 minutes, but then there's all that stoppage time.
Woohoo! Correct.
So that's
answer.
Confusing. But I understand the confusion now. Okay. I had the most correct actual picks as well as the most score picks. And my strategy for the group rounds was if there was a Latin American country playing, I picked them. And that worked out really well for me.
That's perfect. You and I, we should talk later.
Excellent. So what, other than how long the matches should be, what should we be like looking for or watching? Because I always feel that I can get caught up in the game, and I know that just from like watching, because I feel it's shot similarly to a lot of sports that are put on TV, right? So there's a mostly a single angle that you're looking at everything at, and sometimes they'll cut away to like closer shots, but I know just from like from hockey, for example, because there's no way to show like everybody at once, you can't really see what's happening in the backfield or you know, very much ahead of the ball if that's what's going on. So if you were to say there was like one thing for soccer to watch, what would it be?
And you're asking me, because right now Brendan's the expert, right? He's got that.
I watch for the crowd shots myself. They're hilarious. People get dressed up. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. No, but in all seriousness, so soccer is really hard to dissect the game itself because so it's one of those games where scoring does not happen as frequently. And what I mean by that is you don't see as many goals. So over the course of maybe 90 minutes, you'll see all these extraneous events that keep happening. I think I tweeted about this yesterday. There's this book, a brilliant book I'm reading. It's called The Numbers Game, and the authors, they put it out very well. So soccer is actually a game of a few goals, a bunch of extraneous events happening around them, be it slight tackles, be it challenges, be it passing, through balls, lob passes, free kicks, penalties, corners, all these events that are happening around one goal. So there's and since the goals are so rare and they come not so occasionally in soccer, right? So people have to work very hard towards those. And which is why you see all these huffs and puffs around for every single non-scoring event, which are as important as a scoring event. So, did I answer your question, Alan, though?
No. I see what you're saying is there's a lot of, or if I can interpret this, it's there are a lot of events and it's a kind of the thing that gets to the score is kind of the perfect storm of all of those different bits. And so exactly. It's trying to maximize your, you know, chance of all of those things coming together. But I'm wondering, is there like a misunderstood element of soccer that you can point out that would be like, you know, you can whip out at the next pub for or the next game at the pub and you can be like, oh wow, that guy knows what he's talking about.
So I'll tell you my biggest pet peeve is every time when a footballing term is used in soccer, how they're retrofitted into soccer. For
ooh,
example,
I like this.
For example, every time there's a penalty and someone yells out PK, that bothers me.
So what should we be doing or saying?
you should just be saying penalties.
Okay.
And I don't know why. So it's probably because, so I grew up in India, and the feed that we used to get back in India, the we used to get a Sky Sports feed, and it was all obviously British English. So I grew up hearing penalties as penalties and not as PKs. So so every time I hear something like a PK, I'm like, oh my God, no, not yet. And then also another thing is the other day we were having a viewing party at work. And I guess I shouldn't talk about name anyone, but there was this person sitting behind me who constantly kept yelling. He kept yelling, "Nice D, nice D," and I didn't know what he was talking about.
He really likes the D. He's
exactly, really... and I had a hard time trying to figure out what the nice D was, and then I figured out that it's a footballing term. Used in the soccer, which is nice defense. And
actually, I hear that more for basketball, I think.
Ah, okay, so it's maybe basketball, yeah.
Because in American football, there's not, I don't know, I guess there is defense that happens, but you don't usually...
Yeah, there's a whole team, Alan.
You don't call it...
They make signs where with the big D and then... because they're really clever.
So it's a pretty funny story. So I went to school in Clemson, South Carolina, which is obviously a huge footballing school. And I've watched my first football game sometime in 2007. And I had no idea what was happening. And as soon as I, you know, went onto the pitch or in the stands, I had my buddy sitting next to me, and I was like, okay, you got to quickly explain to me all these rules very quickly.
Quickly explain.
And that took about an hour. And I still walked out not knowing anything about the game. But yeah, I learned.
My dad's been watching football as long as he's been in the United States, and I still have to explain to him how certain things work, like, the concept of downs is still foreign to
him. There's only four!
What was that again, Brendan? Eight? Nine?
You could be missing a finger and still count how many downs there are.
Hey, you don't even need fingers to count goals because they're so rare.
Right.
Wild.
But I think the story I was trying to complete, which I completely missed, was there's this guy standing in front of me who had a sign which said D and a fence right next to it. And that's how I remember it was D, fence.
Yep.
Exactly.
Pretty good. See, visual aids, right? You want some things explicit, like D, and then some things symbolic, like a fence. It makes
like
sense.
Visual aids are the best kind of aids.
Yikes.
No other aids are good.
Okay. Topic two. Cool. So, I mean, if you mentioned that, like, World Cup soccer, there's too much kind of hype or messing around. It's not as pure as what soccer? What is your, like, ultimate soccer?
So ultimate soccer is waking up at 8 a.m. And this has been my case since I moved out to the West Coast, where I support Arsenal, which is a Premier League team, which plays in London. So every day, you know, every weekend or Saturday or Sunday, they play early in the morning, which is sometimes at 5 a.m. Pacific time, sometimes 8 a.m. Pacific time. So the typical, a good weekend to me is go to bed at 9 p.m. on a Friday night, wake up by 5 a.m., go to the pub where all the Arsenal fans gather around, watch the game from 5:30 a.m. to like 7:30 a.m., grab breakfast, and then come back home. That's a typical non-commercial way of watching soccer. Versus all this hype around, let's everyone, 1,000 people discuss about it the night before. And despite the fact that we don't know anything about the game, let's just pretend like we do. And I don't know much about the game myself, but I try. So I think that's been my routine for the last, I would say, 4 years or so. So I think you know, there's nothing like watching sports with many people. There's nothing like it. So it's always fun to have more people watch it, more people join in on the excitement. And it just excites me so much to see so much excitement around soccer in the U.S. At least I'll have that many more people to watch it with.
Right. Yeah. We may not win soccer, but we win our best event, which is bandwagoning.
And face painting.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that, I found. Yeah. So do you watch, you mentioned the Premier League, do you watch any of the U.S. Major League Soccer stuff?
I do. So last year I actually had a season ticket to the Earthquakes. And although I didn't make it down to a lot of games, I did go down to maybe 3 or 4 games with the San Jose Earthquakes play. That was Chris Wondolowski's one of his best seasons. So it was fun. I feel the soccer fever is bigger down in LA and in New York, and actually even in Chicago, but not as much in San Francisco as you would expect.
Hippies. are there rule differences between those leagues?
So there are very minor rule differences. I mean, the time is the same. The point scoring is sometimes different. But point scoring is, if for a win, you get 3 points. For a draw, you get 1 point.
I thought it was like the ball goes through and now it's 4 points instead of one.
Right. So the ball goes through the net and tears the net apart, you get 10 points. No.
This sounds like that.
Wait a minute.
Do you remember, was it Rock and Jock Basketball by MTV? Were you clued into that?
No, I was not.
Brennan, was that what it was called? Do you remember that?
Are you talking about Slam Ball?
No. There was a basketball tournament that MTV put on, and they would mix, like, NBA stars and just random musicians. Like, I remember
was this
Anthony.
In the 1900s, Alan?
It might have been in the 1900s, yes.
Okay. I'll defer to your judgment.
So, yeah, anyway, one of the things they did was they made up a bunch of extra rules just to make it more kind of interesting and exciting. So there was there's an arc where you can, outside of that, it's shots are worth 3 points. Well, they made like circles where the shots were worth 5 points. And they were like at the apex of the arc between there and half court and then at the very extreme corners. But then they also made a second hoop that was above the first hoop, and so if you shot it so it went into the second hoop, you'd get, it was like 10 points, and if it fell between the second hoop and the first hoop, and you got, you know, it essentially went all the way straight down, you got like 20 points or something like that. So the scores were like 180 points per game and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of ridiculous. And but nothing is ridiculous as like that for score rule changes in
right.
In soccer. Right.
Yeah, I don't think there are any, or not that I know of.
I do know that they're they were playing with a rule for the U.S. For Major League Soccer specifically to supposedly make it more kind of offense oriented. Mm-hmm. So to make things like you can't play the ball backwards beyond your I don't know, like, so once you go across like the half.
Oh, did they do that? I hadn't heard about that.
I don't know if they've actually done it. I just remember hearing about it as like, here's a way we could make it so the games are more offense-oriented, which is what I think American audiences are more kind of into. I mean, just mm-hmm. just from like, I know they have that rule, or, you know, certain levels of basketball, you can't play a backcourt, for example.
Right.
You can't, you know, so I, right. I don't know if there was a proposal to do that for soccer.
So I know, like, this was way back in 1926, and they were talking exactly about the same thing.
You've been
things
watching since 1926?
I've been clued in all right since 1926. I don't, so yeah, no, but I just read about it. But so 1926, I think back then they introduced this offside rule, which promoted offensive play, right? And same thing with, so I think the back pass that you're talking about, so if you're a defender, you cannot, or if you're anyone on the field, you cannot pass a ball back to the goalkeeper. It cannot be an intentional pass.
Mm-hmm.
And, even if there is an intentional pass, the goalie cannot hold the ball in his hand. He has to kick it out.
Right.
So I think those were subtle rules, but I hadn't heard about this MLS rule, which is actually pretty cool.
I mean, I don't know if I think there is enough kind of interest in soccer. I know mm-hmm. I'm not even going to say the name of the stupid woman who had that diatribe about soccer.
Oh my God.
We're not even going to say her name because that's how you don't
give her nothing.
Right. And I think there is some merit to like the style of the game versus a lot of the other games that are kind of popular and get kind of big network coverage and stuff, but I feel like soccer is pretty accepted as it is. I mean, I think the only thing that the U.S. Audiences really, really get sour about is flopping.
It's flopping, exactly. And I've had the same debate with a few of my friends, and I personally have never played a lot of soccer myself, so I'm pretty neutral on that. I don't know much, but I'd love to hear you guys' views on that.
Well,
on
when
flopping?
I played about what about flopping? I mean, when mm-hmm. I played soccer for the 3 years in junior high, I was a fullback, which I thought was ridiculous because I was, you know, barely 5 feet tall. But anyway, it was kind of I don't think there were. I think all the falls were actually real when I was playing. Usually when people fell down, it was because they either tripped or someone kicked them and their shin guard did not really stop it as well as it should have.
Exactly. But hey, so I guess you didn't flop.
I will admit to flopping while playing soccer. I played one season when I was five.
Uh-huh.
And it was purely to get myself off to the field so I could get a Capri Sun. That was the priority.
That is very good. That's very good.
So are you pro flopping? Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, yes, it's for 5-year-olds.
And it was with an incentive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they probably get Capri Sun, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Right. World Cup level Capri Sun, yeah.
Exactly. No, but so,
like, what would the argument be for not doing anything about it? I guess.
Well, I guess what could they do? So there's been a lot of talk about bringing in video evidence, seeing if there was an actual contact, but that would eventually do nothing but just slow the game down.
Right.
Which FIFA and I guess a lot of fans too are not really a big fan of.
Oh, sure.
Because once you slow the game down, you know, you add the same elements that kind of, I'll say, quote unquote, mar other sports like basketball, football, where there are too many breaks between play, mm-hmm. and you kind of lose a free flowing game, right?
Yeah.
So I haven't seen soccer with a lot of breaks, or a lot of scheduled breaks for video, looking at video evidences and all that. But I don't know. To me, it sounds like I think they're so rooted to the traditional way soccer is played. Any small input of technology into the game, everyone takes 10 steps back and that's thrown back.
Well, what do you think about do you think fining people would stop flopping?
So they've actually started yellow carding people. So if the ref is close enough and he has a clear view of a person flopping, in that case he will show him a yellow card. And that's one measure. Fine. So okay, I mean, all these players, they make tons and tons of money. So unless the fine is like a percentage of the match fee, a percentage of how much they, like Cristiano Ronaldo, he makes $180,000 a week.
What? Huh.
Maybe I should have stuck with soccer after age 5.
No. So, how much are you going to find them?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, so unless it's a percentage of how much they make every week or how much they make per game, I don't think fining would be like, okay, so Luis Suarez, he got fined how much? 4,000. How much was it? I think it was like $4,000
for the bite. Right.
And he would make 100 times that money before he even kicks the next ball, which is 4 months from now.
Right. I think that's probably the larger penalty, is not letting him play.
Exactly. But they're still making money and they're still left scot-free. And
it's paid time off.
Exactly. But I wanted to get you, your opinion on the quote-unquote bite. Like, was it, do you think it was blown up by media? Or
well, no, I think it was a bite. I don't think you have to put quotes around that. He bit him. It's not, and I don't know if there's anything other than, you know, I think removing him because they didn't have, I mean, there's not a rule specifically about biting in soccer, but I mean, I would think it just falls under general unsportsmanlike conduct and should be dealt with appropriately. And I think it's probably, you know, within the bounds of whatever they could do. It's okay, I guess. I don't know. Although that
sounds like more of a 5-year-old move.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
It is. He's probably just teething right now. Because that was the second bite in 2 years and third bite overall. But
his bite ratio is high.
Yeah.
It is very high. The number of memes around his bite have been just going increasing exponentially. But there's also another school of thought where people have come out and said, like, would you rather have someone intentionally bite you or intentionally challenge you, slight tackle you in a way that, you know, you break your leg? People come out and said, I'd rather be on the other side of a bite versus be on the other side of a malicious tackle, leg-breaking tackle. So
aren't both of those against the rules, though? I think neither of those. Choice C, none.
Yeah. None, exactly.
Just kick the ball.
Does seem like a false choice, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. My personal opinion is that obviously it's unethical. It's extremely bad for sport. And just go eat some chocolate. But
so taking a daring position of anti-biting in soccer.
Uh huh.
Biting.
I think we can stand with you on this podcast.
Yeah.
Biting. Not a thing.
Not a thing.
On the soccer field.
Not a thing. We should make that a thing or a meme.
So we have this podcast called the Not a Thing Podcast. Anyway, well, I didn't want to talk completely about soccer unless you had another interesting anecdote to say. I did want to ask you one actually specific thing, and it's not necessarily work related, but it almost is.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an article that came out yesterday, or maybe a couple days ago, and you mentioned, you know, you work in UX research, and so you're, I would assume, up on this. So you may have heard this story already, but there was an article in, I think it was a blog on Pixel Labs, I think, which was about how there's no common sharing icon between anything. Like Apple has like a little square with an arrow kind of coming straight out of it if it's on iOS. If it's on the Mac, it has this arrow that kind of curves off in one direction. Android uses this one where it's like a dot with two lines kind of in a left to right kind of thing. It makes it look like a less than sign.
Right.
And so I just think it's funny that there's so many ways for something that literally is the crux of the internet now, right? All of the internet right now is, oh, share this, share that, put this in social media, blah, blah, blah. And yet there's still not like kind of a cohesive way around that. I was wondering what you thought about that.
I actually did read that article, and I thought it was pretty fascinating. But also what was interesting was, although there are different standards for all these icons, I saw a pattern for all these icons were actually, I was able to look at them and say, oh, this is probably a share icon. So maybe if those icons stood alone, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference between one share icon to the other, but they actually did make sense to me. So the question is, does it matter? Now, the whole point about standardizing icons, right? And I'm not a visual designer, but do you guys remember what the icon for save is?
Oh,
it's
sure.
A disc.
Yeah, it looks like a disc. Floppy disk. Yes,
we all use those.
And it's a floppy disk. We use those discs every day, even today. So no, not really. But I mean, if all these post Windows or post like big giant CPU era kids, would they relate to a save icon, which is back from 1994, 1990s? I don't know. As long as it passes on, I know Apple started doing different save icons, which kind of indicate that you're downloading stuff from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But do they have to go ahead and change the standard or standardize the share icon, same like the save icon? I think it's debatable. Also, it as long as it's comprehensible, should it be changed? Or should it be standardized? What are your thoughts?
As long as it's still understandable, I don't see a reason why it needs to be standardized.
Mm-hmm.
I am only seeing it from the multi-platform developer perspective, where it must just suck if you're a developer trying to put something out on like Mac and PC and Android, and you're like, oh, when I'm in here, I have to make it look like this. And when I'm here, I have to make it look like that. And
right.
It can kind of mess up. I mean, that's just one element, but it can mess up your overall kind of feel, right? You essentially have to have as many looks and feels as there are platforms. And that's not shrinking, you know, because a couple weeks ago, Amazon is throwing its own hat into the ring for phones. There's now Fire Phone, which is like I thought it was Android based, and apparently it's not. It's its own thing. I don't.
Oh, know. It's not. Okay.
I was that under that impression, but I don't know. I don't know.
I'll let some other brave soul buy one of those. I'll see you in a few generations, Amazon. Yeah.
Maybe the maybe it'll beat the Windows Phone. I mean, that's the bar it has to clear, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, the lowest bar.
Oh, you mean the lowest bar as in the Windows phones don't get signal bars? Those bars?
No.
Yeah.
It's not the limbo, the Windows phone, it's the limbo phone. How low can you go?
Very nice, very nice.
That was, no, but I think we should all sign a petition to standardize one icon, which is absolute must, and it needs to be done. That and that icon's the selfie icon.
No, you should just have a button for selfie, like separate from the shutter, the normal like shutter button or whatever. It's like, I just want to take a selfie now, and you click it. Is that what you
exactly?
Yeah, and then your phone delivers an electric shock to you when you click that button.
That is pretty funny. Actually, now that I'm on the computer, I actually did Google selfie icons and did not see. I actually did see a few. Okay,
they exist,
there you go.
Is what you're saying.
They do exist. They do exist. And someone's put in an entire days of work into building this icon. So.
Oh, you have to send that to me. We'll link that one in the show notes for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Wild. Well, I let's see. In looking at your Twitter bio, which I know is everything about you, I'm sure. One of the things I noticed you put in was you enjoy public transport.
And yeah.
Yet you work kind of in the South Bay, where public transport is horrible.
absolutely horrendous. So I've been in the US since 2007, so it's been 7 years, almost 8 years now, closing in on 8 years, and I still have never owned a car, and that was the biggest surprise to me. So I still surprise myself, because the day I landed in the US, I was like, within 6 months I'm gonna get a car. And I just, that never happened. So I guess I've been relying on public transport for the last 8 years, like be it South Carolina, be it New York City, be it Mountain View, Santa Clara, or be it San Francisco. And it's been good so far. I don't necessarily save a lot of money, and I have amazing friends who drive me around, but.
That's like not quite public transport when your friends drive you around, but it's. That's still impressive that you don't own a car, especially with the so do you take the light rail to the office?
So my daily commute begins with a Caltrain. No, uh-huh. It actually begins with a quick sprint to the Caltrain station, because I'm a little late. Right. And then a quick sprint, then I spend about 45 minutes, 50 minutes on the Caltrain, then transfer off to the light rail, and then that's how I get to Santa Clara.
Gotcha. Yeah, that light rail, I can't say enough about how much I dislike it.
Exactly.
But I think in San Francisco you're kind of spoiled about how public transport goes. I think I'm pretty happy with Muni in San Francisco, but I mean, for me to get from my house to the office is almost a 2-hour transaction by light rail and everything else.
Oh my God. Is it straight on one light rail?
No,
two
lines. I have to transfer. And the closest light rail is like 20 minutes away for me. If I'm walking. Because I guess I could bike to the light rail, ride the light rail almost the entire way, and then I would ride the light rail all the way there. But I mean, I feel like if I'm going to hop on a bike and it's going to take me 2 hours, I might as well ride my bike in.
Exactly. And we need to start doing that, considering that it's going to be gorgeous for the next at least week or so.
Oh, well, we'll do bike rides from work. I'm sure we'll figure something out soon. I know more than a couple people at the office have kind of figured that out.
talked about it. But Brendan, how do you get to work and back from work?
In my car. It's about a 10-minute drive with no traffic.
That's super convenient. And look at us complaining to you.
I was trying not to say anything. I don't want to make you feel bad. Like, I could bike and I'd probably make it in about half an hour.
Not bad. Okay. I would do that.
Once I fix my bike, I'm going to start doing that.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, you might as well when the weather's nice. Can do. So what, let's see, what else? Is there anything else you wanted to talk about or jump into? We're coming up past 45-ish minutes. I didn't want to, like, you know, push you out. I know we talked about soccer a lot, but is there anything else you are into or want
like
people
to
hear about? Yeah.
The only thing I'm into right now is the long weekend. So
not bad.
So what are you guys doing for 4th of July? Any fun patriotic plans apart from drinking beer?
Drinking beer, eating barbecued meats,
yes.
And making things explode.
Yes.
Watching other people make things explode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it.
And watching 90 minutes of soccer, right, Brendan?
Probably not. I think so far in the World Cup, I've watched about 30 minutes of soccer total.
Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. Someone's going to create a video montage of all the goals, and that's all you'll need to watch.
Right.
Yeah, I'll just wait for the supercut when it's over, and that's all I need to see.
Yeah, with any luck, I will be doing a similar amount of grilling and drinking and eating. I do hope to breathe fire at the barbecue I'm throwing. We'll see.
As long breathe as the out wind, fire, Alan.
As long
breathe
as the wind, out. yes, as long as the wind cooperates, it should be safe for everyone.
Exhale.
Yes. Only exhale, yes.
No inhaling. And also make sure the wind does not blow straight onto you.
Yes. Oh, I'm very safe. I breathe the fire over a swimming pool, so in case I light myself on fire, you can push me into the pool. We have a CO2 fire extinguisher standing by. We dial the phone to 911 just in case.
You've got a vigilant Julie waiting by your side.
Yep.
And we're ready to jump in at the first sign of trouble.
We have many people with cell phones in hands. I mean, most of them are recording, but you know,
yeah.
it'll work out either way.
So, Alan, you should invite me to this barbecue because I can create a fake alarm and just get a chance to push you into the swimming pool. And then my weekend would be complete.
Excellent. Cool. Well, Vikas, I'm going to attempt to pronounce your last name so you can tell me if that's a thing or not.
So let's do this. Let's do this. So why don't you pronounce it once, then I'll give Brendan a chance to pronounce it another time. And
I don't
then...
even have it written down in front of me.
Oh, my God. Well, Vikas Vadlapatla, I'm so glad we've had to have you on the show.
That was actually pretty good.
Excellent. I'll take it. We're not redoing that one. I'm not editing this, so it's good. Close enough for me. I'm glad we had you on the show. We've been talking about it for a little while now, and definitely in the last couple of weeks. So I'm glad you were able to make it.
No, this is absolute pleasure. Great talking to you guys. It was awesome.
Super.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. We'll definitely have to have you back.
Definitely.
Yeah, we can. You know, we'll call you in 4 years for the next World Cup.
Let's focus on hitting the 2-year mark first, Alan.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, speaking of the 2-year mark, I actually don't know when the numbered date is. I should probably have looked that up. We should do a little more research before these shows. Anyway,
we should do any research before these shows.
Maybe, but all I know is we're episode 97, and while. Yeah, I understand it's a weekly show, and we do 52 weeks in a year over here. We're kind of treating the 100th show as our 2 year ish kind of episode, and so we're looking forward to that one. Plans are shaping up. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. I've totally put lots of work into the new theme song. It's gonna be ready in time. Don't worry.
Excellent. Cool. Well, one more thanks again to Vikas for hanging out with us on a Wednesday for the show, and yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I'll be your new fan, and you get more subscribers from me.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
I love it.
I'm just kidding. No.
It's okay. We understand. We understand.
No, you guys are great. You guys are great. You definitely have plus one on that follow list.
That's a Google Plus thing. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Right on. Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Until next time, Alan.